Greetings to each of you. Welcome each of you to the service. The story is told of a king who once had a group of artists that he asked them to paint a picture that best describes what peace looks like. Bernal, I believe I remember you sharing this story some years ago in a Sunday school lesson, but I decided to share it again because I love the outcome of that, asking these artists to paint this picture of peace. So as he was viewing these different displays that the artist painted, he narrowed it down to two paintings. And the first painting was a beautiful painting of some white clouds in the sky. And the picture on the on my right, the far right, the white clouds in the sky, the lake surrounded by peaceful mountains, just this beautiful picture of peace. And you probably can all relate to maybe some scenes in nature where it's just so peaceful, so right. The other painting that he was debating was quite different, and I realize this picture up on the wall is rather blurry, but there's a storm, obviously. There's water. There's mountains. There's gray clouds or gray skies. And there's a downpour of, well, the waterfalls there. But what got the king's attention was, you might not be able to see it so well, but right in here is a little bird, a white bird, sitting on a nest. And as he was observing that bird, you know, this painting, this bird at peace on the nest through the storm. And that is the picture that this king chose as the picture that best describes peace, because he realized life isn't always, you know, just as we would like it, so peaceful, where everything's just perfect. But he realized we can still be at peace when there's storms in our life. And that's what I would like to talk about some this morning. You can turn to Galatians chapter 5. We will continue our study through the fruits of the Spirit. Last message, we looked at the fruit of joy. And this message this morning, Lord willing, I want to look at the fruit of peace. So the title that I gave the message this morning is The Fruit of Peace. Maybe just a very brief recap on the last message on joy, the fruit of joy. And in that message, I had a little children's meeting where I talked about how we often think of difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is often, as we think, related to our circumstances. If all is going well, it's easy to be happy. Joy is something deeper within, that we can experience joy even through the storms of life. And maybe just to clarify, I talked briefly about how the Bible doesn't actually make a distinction, you know, when it talks about happiness and joy as the distinction that we often make. I don't know if I left that very clearly, because in the children's lesson I talked about how there's a difference there, and yet the Bible doesn't make as much of a difference there. But I was not trying to contradict what I was saying. It's just the Bible uses happiness and joy many times, I believe, interchangeably. So thinking about the fruit or the fruits of the Spirit, I'm just going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So Paul is encouraging us to walk in the Spirit, not to live after the flesh, the carnal desires within, but to walk in the Spirit. He says this in verse 16, Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then 19 through 21, Paul gives a list of the works of the flesh. And he's saying, if you're going to be followers of Christ, there's some things you're going to have to put off. Don't go back to your former ways, but rather pursue walking in the Spirit and to put on these things. And as you read through the fruits of the Spirit, Paul is saying these are things that should be evident in your life. I believe some of these things, that when we experience the new life, some of these things will come more naturally than others. Some things we have to work pretty hard to be producing these fruits of the Spirit. In verse 22, I'll start reading there, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, I believe foremost is, as believers in Christ, or followers of Christ, and Paul said in the beginning here in chapter 5 that we must, or the law is fulfilled in one word, by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So love is foremost. I don't know if Paul spent a lot of time putting these in a specific order or not, but I believe love is paramount. Love is most important. We are to love others, have a love for God, love for others. We are to have joy in our walk with Christ. And we are also, we should be portraying a peace that comes from knowing God. So, maybe briefly, what is peace? When you think of peace, what comes to your mind? I'd like you to think about it a little bit. And maybe you can think of some, maybe pictures of both of these times. You know, it's nice when things are going well and where everything is just peaceful. But we live in a world of brokenness and we face things in life where we go maybe through the storms, where it feels like there's a lot of things that are around us that are happening that don't feel so peaceful, or maybe sometimes that'll rob us of our peace. Well, peace can be defined as tranquility, harmony, or security. And just going to spend a little bit of time looking at what the Bible says about peace. So peace is something pretty much everyone, I believe, would say they desire. There's many people that search and search for peace, and sometimes few seem to find it. In Scripture, there's various words that are used for, or in referencing peace. There's 429 times in the King James Version that peace is referenced in the Bible. So again, as I look at these fruits of the Spirit, in one message, I'm not going to exhaust these fruits, but want to maybe more so scratch the surface or look at some of the main things the Bible talks about. Peace. Billy Graham has said, most people yearn for one thing more than anything else, inner peace. Without it, they have no lasting joy or security. The word peace is used in the Bible in three main ways. First, there is spiritual peace, so peace that comes between, or that can be found in God and man. Second, there is psychological peace, or peace within. Thirdly, there is relational peace, peace among mankind. And those are the three that I would like to look at mainly this morning. Peace with God, peace within, and peace among mankind. In the Old Testament, the primary word for peace is shalom. And shalom, put it up here on the wall. Shalom means more than just an absence of conflict. It signifies a holistic sense of wholeness, completeness, and well-being. So all throughout Scripture, we can find, again, these 429 times that peace is referenced. After sin came, God continued to work at bringing peace to mankind, offering peace to mankind. In the Old Testament, it was through the blood of animals, where people could be restored, or peace could be restored. In the New Testament, the primary Greek word for peace is irene, or it can also be pronounced irene, from what I've studied. And this is similar to shalom. Irene refers to rest and tranquility that results from a harmonized relationship between the soul and God. So looking briefly at what is peace and what the Bible says about peace. I mentioned these three dimensions of peace with God, peace within, peace with others. And when sin came, all types of this peace were broken. And we still live in a world where we see much of this brokenness. When or mankind rebelled against God and lost peace in every way, these dimensions of peace can be restored. While there's things that we can do to pursue peace, it's ultimately God that can bring peace in our lives. God has done it in ages past, and God is still a God who desires to bring peace to our lives. He desires to bring peace among mankind. And as we look around the world and the war that's happening, we see signs or we see the evidence where there is a lack of peace, where there is war and turmoil instead of peace. So this morning, I want us to pursue the Prince of Peace so that we can experience the peace that He alone provides. We'll look at a verse shortly about Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace or the true source of peace. So the first point I wanted to look at is peace with God. Secondly, peace of God, or this can also be thought about as inner peace. We can experience that inner peace when we experience the peace of God in our lives. And then thirdly, peace with man. And I'll plan to go through them in that order. I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning that talk about peace. So I'm going to put a number of scriptures up here on the wall. And thinking about peace with God and what God has done to mankind so that we can experience that peace. There's a verse in Isaiah 9 that says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And there it talks about Jesus Christ coming as a Prince of Peace. It is through Christ alone where we can find the true source of peace. You can see what mankind does by observing some of the things that people do, what they spend their money on to pursue peace. You've probably been to homes already where people went to great measures to try to feel at peace. And some of these things have their place, like security cameras. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a security camera. But there are some people that put their trust, I believe, in cameras or insurance policies. You know, they have everything covered and then they can be at peace. Well, things can still happen with things like that. Security cameras can fail. Finances can disappear quickly at times. Some of these things can bring an element of peace, but that's not where the true source of peace is found. Another verse from Romans, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And this peace is not simply the absence of anxiety or worry, but a serenity that results from living in a right relationship with God, with other people, and with oneself. So we can experience peace with God, true peace with God, only when we experience the blood of Christ to our lives personally. And with the New Believers class recently, some of you, as you shared your testimony, you talked about the time of wrestling, where you didn't experience that peace. And when you surrendered your life to Christ, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you talked about experiencing a peace. And I hope every believer here this morning can relate to a time of their life where they experienced peace with God. When they confessed their sin, they repented of their sin, and maybe when they put their head on the pillow at night, they could experience a calmness, a serenity, a peace that comes from knowing God and being made in a right or brought into a right relationship with God. I think of the times in my life where I was through that stage of wrestling. I wanted peace, and yet I wasn't willing to, for a time, pay the price of experiencing that peace, to lay my life down before God and surrender. But when I came to that place of surrender, the peace that it brought, and when I laid my head on the pillow at night knowing if I didn't wake up in the morning, if I died in my sleep, it was okay because I was at peace with God. And that is the greatest blessing, I believe, that we can experience, being at peace with God. And if you're here this morning and you can't relate to having peace with God, I urge you to take that step, to be justified by faith. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Confess your sin, and you can experience that peace with God that He alone can give. Another verse here in Romans. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, contrasting the peace that the world pursues, peace in finances, peace in having everything covered, peace in knowing that, or doing their best to make everything safe around them. Many people realize those things can be taken away, and contrast that with the peace that God can give. God can give true life. God can bring true peace that is only found through Him and no one else. The blessing of being at peace with God is the greatest blessing, I believe, we can ever experience. Then moving to the second point, the peace or peace of God, or also thinking about inner peace, how we can still experience peace through the storms, if you will. We can be like that dove that's tucked between the waterfall and still at peace. As Billy Graham had said, most people yearn for one thing more than anything else, and that is inner peace. I believe there's many people searching today for this inner peace. Philippians 4 says this, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thinking that phrase, peace of God, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything. I know I talked about this before. The Bible talks numerous places about not being anxious, not worrying. There's things in life that we do need to think about, and I often separate, you know, concern with worry. There's things that I'm concerned about, but I don't want to become anxious about it, where I just lose sleep over it. And I realize, I'm going to say that careful, because there are some things that weigh heavily on us at times, and where we might lose some sleep over it. But I believe when we can experience the peace of God, when we can rest like this bird is in the midst of a storm, because God is in control. And we can experience the peace of God through the storms. A story to help illustrate that. The story is told of Horatio Spafford, who was a successful attorney and real estate investor, but he lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. So a wealthy man, losing his home through this Chicago fire, and then shortly after, or around this time, his 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. So thinking about a man who was a wealthy man, things I believe were going well, to losing a lot, going through a very difficult time. It was through this time of grief that he felt his family needed a vacation, so he sent his wife and 4 daughters he sent them on a ship to England for vacation. He had some business things he had to settle, and then he was going to later go join them on vacation. Well, as his wife and four daughters were traveling to England, they struck something causing the ship to break down, and his four daughters ended up drowning. He lost the lives of five of his children. And his wife sent a message back that she alone has escaped. I can't imagine the turmoil he was going through. He immediately set sail for England to join his wife there. As they were traveling across the ocean, headed towards England, the captain of the ship was aware of what had happened, and he called Horatio Spafford, and he said, "This is the area where the accident happened." I don't know what all the anguish was going on in Horatio's mind as he's grieving the loss of now five children dying, losing his house in the fire. Through a time of deep, deep grief, there was something powerful and something beautiful that came out of his very dark time in life. It is there on that ship where he wrote the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul." It's a very powerful song if you know the story behind that song. A man going through great, great grief, yet coming to the place, I believe, a picture like this on the wall, where the bird was experiencing the storm, but he was experiencing the peace of God. I don't know much about this man, what his life was like prior to this, but God was working in this man's life, and he could experience the peace of God through a very difficult time. That song is in Songs of Faith and Praise. I think it's 490. Brent, if you want to lead it after the message, it'd be a fitting song. I'll let it up to you. Maybe you have your songs already picked out. But some of the hymns, if we know the stories behind the hymns, bring, in my mind, a lot more, very powerful, make them very real when they're wrote out of a context like that. Horatio Spafford could experience the peace of God through great grief. I believe, I don't know exactly what all his wrestling was, but I believe he could come to that place because in a sense he recognized God is still in control. He didn't understand the why behind it all, but he was trusting in the goodness of God. And he accepted his lot in life. And I believe it's through those times where we go through some times of grief. Yet, if we have the peace of God in our lives, God can work in very powerful, powerful ways. We could look at many examples in Scripture. I recently talked about some of the life of Joseph at Bible clubs. Joseph, throughout many years of his life, he didn't know what was happening with all the turmoil he was facing. He went from being a chosen child to being sold as a slave. And then things maybe were going a little bit better as he was placed in charge of Potiphar's house. Then he was lied about and cast into prison. He had to go through some very dark times. But I believe Joseph was experiencing the peace of God. And then I believe his hopes went up when the baker and butler had their dreams and he interpreted the dreams. And he says, "Remember me when you get out of prison." And I wonder if Joseph woke up the next day, he's thinking, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. And the days kept going on. And 2 years later, he was still in prison. But I believe there was something about the peace of God in Joseph's life. And then Pharaoh has the dream and he's brought out of prison. Interprets the dream and he's placed in a position of power. And I don't think it was till the end of Joseph's life that he could look back and see the hand of God through this all. And he tells his brother that after their father died, he says, "You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good." And I believe there's things that we might face in life. We might go through the storms in life and never fully understand the why. But I believe if we can go through the storms of life with the peace of God, it is through those times or out of those storms that God can work in very powerful ways. our stories are still being written today. Life can be so unpredictable. Joys and sorrows, beautiful blessings and distressing difficulties can come unexpectedly. And for some people, life changes in an instant. You could look at Job and how he lost everything so quickly. You look at Horatio Spafford, who wrote that song. His life changed very quickly from looking like maybe the first picture of the calm surroundings, everything was peaceful, going well, to losing so much, and yet still he experienced the peace of God. So we have the choice to either trust God's promises, allowing his peace to rule in our lives, or the peace of God to be in our lives, or it's up to us. We can reject that. We can reject the peace he offers, but Christ's desire is that we can experience the peace of God. Jesus told his disciples as he was getting ready to leave, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We had have a beautiful promise of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit abiding in us. So as Jesus was preparing to leave, Jesus knew his disciples would face some difficulties, but he's saying, "Peace I leave with you." Not the peace as the world gives. Another one we could look at this morning, which I don't plan to, is false peace. The world offers false peace at times, but Jesus gives or offers the true peace, and that is what he freely gives to all who choose to rest in him. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Brent, I appreciated the songs. That first song, "God Himself is Present." We can experience the peace of God because God Himself is present. We need to rest in His presence, seek His presence. And Matt, I appreciate the devotional as well. We can praise God this morning because He is the true source of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. In Him alone, that peace is found. So this world, we know, will continue to have wars. We will experience interpersonal conflicts until Jesus comes, but Jesus offers true peace, and we can experience the peace of God when we rest in Him. Some of my favorite verses in Proverbs are these right here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Now, the word peace is not found in those verses, but I believe a very important step, if we want the peace of God in our lives, comes by trusting in the Lord with all our heart. Again, thinking about the storms that we experience, we don't always understand the why, but if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we don't lean on my own understanding, like, "I think it should have went this way. This is how I would have liked it to go, but God, I'm going to trust you." And when we can do that, we'll trust God and allow God to direct us. We can have a peace that passes understanding, or we can have the peace of God in our lives. Moving on to the third one, peace with man. You can turn to Romans 12. I'd like to read a few verses here. Romans chapter 12. Like to read, start reading at verse 9. Paul talked a lot about, not only about peace with God or peace of God, but he also talked a lot about peace with man and how we should live with one another. Romans chapter 12, I'll start reading verse 9. I think we'll just read through the end of the chapter. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if an enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, thinking about peace with man, we can see the world around us and many broken relationships, maybe broken marriages, but God's heart is that we would live in harmony, live in unity with one another. And so we need peace with God. We need the horizontal relationship first. And out of that, we should have a vertical peace, or a peace among others, or peace with man. So if we don't have that first one in order, peace with God, we will not be able to live in peace with one another as Christ desires. So I have a few things that I just pulled out basically from these verses that I just would like to leave with us as we think about peace with man. It starts with, we must have a love. We must love one another. Really, first we love God. Out of that, we have a love for one another. Respect and appreciate one another. This should include all people, not just those we find it easiest to appreciate or easiest to respect, but we're to treat others with respect and appreciation. We are to give to those in need. There's times where there's needs among the brotherhood. We might see needs as we're going about our week. If we have a love for one another, there's times where God will move us, or out of love we give to those who are in need, whether it's material possessions, whether it's finances, or maybe just time. We should take time to give to those around us. We need to care for one another. Paul says to weep with those who are weeping and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Do we go through times in our lives where we do these things, where we see someone else that's going through a hard time, whether weeping or grieving? Do we grieve with those who grieve? Or can we get excited with someone else over their joyous times in life, their victories or whatever they're facing? Can we rejoice with those who are rejoicing? These are all things to have peace with one another and return good for evil to your enemies. Paul talks about that in these verses here as well. We're not to retaliate, but instead to return good instead of evil to those who wrong us. And then in verse 18, he says, if possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, we know that in order for relationships to thrive, it takes love from both parties. But Paul says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There are times where, as we seek peace with one another, someone else, the one that we're seeking peace with, might not respond the same way we would like them to. But we can do our part to restore peace. We can do our part and show love. So we can extend peace by offering grace and forgiveness regardless of the response of others around us. And verse in Psalm here, it says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Sometimes it's easier to avoid maybe mending a relationship, just kind of like letting it at a distance, I'm not saying there's never a place for that, like if there's harm there, but the psalmist is saying to seek peace, pursue it. When you seek something or you're pursuing something, you're going after it. You're doing what you can to find it or to obtain it. So there's times where we should go after, and whether it's relationships with others or whatever it is, to seek peace and to do our best to have a good relationship among us. I know I shared this story a few years ago, but the story is told of two brothers who were farmers. And for years, they farmed well together. Their farms bordered each other's property. And they shared a lot of equipment with each other, helped each other out during planting and harvest season. But there was a tension that began to build between these two farmers until one day, it came to a head. And angry words were said to each other. And out of that argument, after that, they resented each other. And they cut ties with each other. And I'm not sure how long this went on, but one day there was a carpenter that came looking for work, and this brother is thinking about some of the jobs around the farm that this carpenter could do, and he got an idea. He said, "Actually, I have the perfect job for you. You see that farm over there? That's my brother's farm, and we're not on speaking terms, and I would like you to build a wall so when I look out my house, I don't see his farm there. So I need to go to town, do some work. I'm going to come back, but here's what I want you to do. From this point to this point, I want a wall so that I don't see my brother's farm." So the farmer left, went about his work, or went about his to go to town, and the carpenter set to work. As that farmer came home from town, and he's anxious to see how far this wall is constructed, and he sees something that he didn't tell this carpenter to do. Instead, so there was a little creek going between the two farms. Instead of the wall that was built, there was this beautiful bridge that was built across the creek. And he observed his brother walking across the property, coming across the bridge, with arms outstretched, out of love, or to just extend forgiveness for his part to his brother. And it was that day that the brother's relationship was restored, where they came at peace with each other again because the carpenter built a bridge instead of a wall. And as we think about pursuing peace with others, I want us to think about our lives. Are there any bridges that God wants us to construct or to extend in order for peace to be restored? God cares much about our relationships. So, in conclusion, thinking about these two pictures again, the top one where the storm is happening, yet peace can be found. I realize each of us are experiencing various things throughout life currently. Maybe you have some storms that you're experiencing right now, and my encouragement with you is to seek peace and to be like that bird that's peacefully sitting on the nest. And God is the nest that we need to go to, and we can experience peace through the storms. Maybe our life is like the bottom right now, where we like it to be, right? But life isn't always like that. So, is your life bearing the fruit of peace? Are you trusting in the Prince of Peace so that you can experience the peace that He alone provides? So we looked at peace with God that is only found through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God offers peace to all men, or all people. He desires for us to be brought in a right relationship with Him. We looked at peace of God, where we can experience God's peace, or that inner peace, no matter what we are experiencing. And then, thirdly, we looked at peace with man, and sometimes we need to extend bridges where we can offer reconciliation. That is God's heart. So perhaps we cannot always say that everything is well in all aspects of our lives, like the songwriter had said, or he had penned. There will always be storms to face, and sometimes there will be tragedies. But with faith in a loving God, with trust in His divine help, we can confidently say, it is well with my soul. So God is not surprised by anything that happens. Sometimes it might be nice if we knew what the future held, and yet sometimes I think that might rob us of our peace if we knew what we're going to soon be facing. But God is not surprised by what happens. God was not surprised by Joseph's life and being sold as a slave. God is still in control through every storm of life. And we can experience God's peace when we choose to trust in Him. I'm going to close with this verse from Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So Jesus Christ alone is the Prince of Peace. Well, I do have one more verse yet. Thinking about laying our head down at night when there is peace with God, peace within, peace among our fellow man, I believe is one of the greatest blessings that we can have in this life. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. I believe it was David who wrote that. David faced many storms, many times where he could have been very anxious, where peace could have been far from him. But I believe David went to the nest. David went to God and he could experience that peace through the storms of life, and he could lay down in peace. That is God's desire for us. That's my desire for you all, including myself. And I realize it's not always easy to not be anxious. Sometimes the anxiety can come quickly, but peace can be found when we go to God and we experience the true peace that the Prince of Peace offers. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for being the true Prince of Peace. And I pray that each one of us here could find you as David did, the true Prince of Peace, where we can go to you, rest in the nest through the times of storm, and then we can find shelter in you, that we would lay our anxieties down. And I pray if there's anyone here that maybe they're going through a time of a lot on their mind where it's difficult to find that peace, I pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they could lay their burdens at your feet and find true peace that you alone can offer. I pray if there's anyone here that has not ever surrendered their life to you and has been brought back into a relationship with you where there is the peace that you offer, I pray that you would speak to them and draw them to yourselves. And I pray that each one of us could rest in you and find the peace that you alone can offer, or that you do offer. I pray that each one of us would choose to rest in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.